Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. And it was interesting, as I was looking at this, I was thinking that this was somewhat relevant even to David's situation as he was in the hospital, and then now this situation with Dawn. And the two sections that we're going to look at tonight really have a lot of emotion in them. The first, if I would look at a predominant theme in each stanza, the first one would be, I cry out, and the second one would be, revive me. Those seem to be words that are repeated throughout each one of those stanzas. As we look at 119:45, first of all, let me just read through the first stanza. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. As we look at this first verse, 145, I cry out, that sound has the sound, when we think about crying out, that is a very intense action that comes from a heart of perhaps sorrow or need or desperation. And it is a very importunate cry or prayer. And with my whole heart would indicate all the powers of one's soul. So crying out from the depth of one's soul with one's whole heart. This is not just a common prayer or a mouthed prayer or a ritual prayer, ritualistic prayer. It is one that is done truly from the heart. And then he has actually another plea, and that is, hear me, O Lord. So I cry out with my whole heart, and as a result, I would ask, Lord, that you would hear me. For the reason is, I will keep your statutes. And as we go through these requests in each one of these verses throughout these two stanzas, that is a common pattern that we will see. He will ask for he will make a request. He will state a fact, and then he will base that upon his keeping of the Lord's statutes. And the reason for that is, for I will keep your statutes. And then we see that again in verse 146, where he says, I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So again, we see a similar pattern in those two verses. Verse 147 says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Perhaps during times of concern or worry, we may rise up early, or we may get up early in the morning. And oftentimes, early in the morning is a great time to cry out to the Lord for help. It is a time when anxiety may fill the heart or sorrow may fill the heart, and we rise up early and we cry out for the Lord. And the reason here again is given, I hope in your word. And then here, my eyes awake, and was verse 148, my eyes awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Oftentimes when we have sleepless nights, we will lay in bed and perhaps toss and turn, or we may try to think about things, or we will try to still our minds through different means, perhaps through prayer, or perhaps through reading or memorizing scripture or reciting scripture we've memorized, and that oftentimes helps us to fall asleep or to ease our mind. But oftentimes it's good just to get up, out of bed and read the scriptures or pray, turning a light on in the night. And this idea here of through the watches of the night indicates a long night. And when it says through the night watches, it's interesting to note that this is plural. And there are three watches in the Jew. This is a military term when it comes to the night watches. The night watches looked at in the Jewish tradition at three watches or shifts. The first watch was from sunset to around 10 p.m. The second watch was from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And then the last or the morning watch was from 2 a.m. until sunrise. And we see each one of these in the scriptures. The first one, as we look at, we can find in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Lamentations 2:19 says, "Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands towards Him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street." Of course, here was the context in this particular one was the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem. But here we see a cry to cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches, that indicating the first shift from 10 a.m., I'm sorry, from basically sunset until 10 p.m. And then we see also the middle of the night, the middle watch. And that can be found in Judges. That can be found in Judges chapter 7, verse 19. Judges 7:19. Say, "So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried out, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So this, we know, occurred somewhere between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the middle watch. And then we also have the last watch, or the morning watch. And we can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11. 1 Samuel 11, 11. "So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together." So here we have this picture not of military action, but through the watches. Watches, perhaps when nothing is hope going on, but yet time that is passing, perhaps through time of sorrow or through time of temptation or through time of concern, we see the three watches of the night. And the psalmist here is stating that my eyes are awake through the night watches, meaning it's a sleepless night. And what is he doing during that time? He is meditating on his word. He is meditating on the word of God. He is contemplating the word of God during those sleepless hours. And then we see in verse 149, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your word." And here he is pleading with the Lord to hear him according to his justice and according to his loving kindness. Now verse 150 says, they draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. So here we see the picture of those coming after him who are enemies of God, who are enemies of David. And he is saying, they draw near and they are far from your law. They have no interest in the law of God, but they draw near. And then he has a contrast here in 1 verse 51, also saying, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So we have really a contrast between these two verses. Number one, they draw near who follow after wickedness, but you also are near, O Lord. And then they are far from your law, and then the contrast to that is all your commandments are truth. So even though the wicked are far off from the law of God, all of your commandments are true, regardless of the fact that the wicked reject the law. And then we see somewhat of a conclusion in verse 152, where it says, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. And so we see a very similar ending, as we will see in 160, the end of the next stanza. But here the psalmist is looking at the testimonies of the Lord and acknowledging that of old that they have been founded forever. And regardless of all of the instability and all of the wickedness around him and all of the problems that may be keeping him up at night through the night watches, he has known of old that the testimonies are forever. And as we look at the next stanza, we'll read through that. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. We mentioned, remember earlier, that the first stanza had to do with crying out to God and asking the Lord to hear him. And here we have this concept in the second stanza that we're looking at tonight of reviving him according to his word. And then we see again, as we saw in verse 152 and 160, somewhat of a conclusion or a summing up of the stanza, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So as we look back at 153, consider my affliction and deliver me, we see the idea here of pondering his afflictions, of asking the Lord to be mindful of his afflictions, of looking at that and meditating upon or remembering or pondering or contemplating his afflictions, asking the Lord not to forget his afflictions, and asking God to not only do this, but also to deliver him. And again, why is he saying this? For I do not forget your law. And then again, another plea, a parallel, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. And here he's thankful for the word of the Lord, and he is asking here to plead for the Lord to redeem him according to this word. So we see here this idea here again of consider my afflictions and deliver me, and plead my cause and redeem me. Parallel verses here, and then we see a contrast beginning in 155. He does not forget his law. Revive me according to your word. But then salvation is far from the wicked in verse 155. For they do not seek your statutes. Again, that's another reminder from up in the previous stanza. For they do not seek your statutes. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. So here again is the idea that those who are wicked do not seek. They are indifferent. They are pursuing other things, other interests, and they are following their heart, so to speak. They're not seeking the statutes of the Lord. Then verse 156, verse 156 says, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." That is another word is for the revive is to quicken or bring me to life according to your judgments. Verse 157 says, "Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies." Even though the persecutors are many, and even though the enemies are many, yet I do not turn. I remain steadfast. I do not turn from the testimonies of the Lord. 158 says, "I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word." Again, this is a parallel idea to 155 where it says they do not seek your statutes. But here again he says they do not keep your word. In 155 it says they do not seek your statutes. Here's a little bit different of a shade of meaning, because they do not keep your word. So we have an indifference, as mentioned earlier. We have also a disobeying in their personal lives. They have a public flaunting of immorality. They have an immorality, perhaps even being sanctioned by governments. And then they have even an immorality being imposed by governments. And then there is an all-out war declared on God and his people, such as Psalm 2, talking about the nations raging. So we have a progression of the treacherous and the wicked not keeping his word. When he says, "I see the treacherous, I am disgusted." So the treacherous, again, perhaps being a little bit deeper of a meaning than just the wicked, but a little more treacherous of a word here, or a little bit deeper of a word in terms of their degree of wickedness and seeing the treacherous. And he is disgusted by it. And oftentimes we feel that also when we look around in our own culture and our own society. We see the treacherous and we feel disgusted at the flaunting and the arrogance of the wicked. And then verse 159 again goes back to consider. That word was also used in 153. "Consider my affliction and deliver me." Here he's saying, "Consider how I love your precepts." Consider how I love your precepts. Again, the idea of pondering, meditating, thinking of, being mindful of. He's asking the Lord to consider his love for his word. And then that word, then that request again, "Revive me, bring me to life, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to your mercies." And then we see the conclusion here, really a very beautiful conclusion. "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." We see three words here looking at the totality of the word of God and its truth and its beauty. We see the entirety, we see the whole thing. We look at the breadth of the word of God, seeing that all of it is true all throughout. And then we look at the details in every one of your righteous judgments. One of our beliefs here at our church is that we believe in plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture, meaning that every word is inspired by God, not just ideas or concepts or parts of the word, but the entirety of the word and every word is inspired by God. And then, of course, we see the endurance. Your judgments endure forever. So we have the breadth, we have the detail, and then we have the enduringness of his word, that the judgments endure forever. And of course, we think of, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Okay. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we thank you for, again, your word that is so solid. We thank you, Father, that, again, during times of uncertainty and during times of grief and anxiety and despair, that we can look upon the foundation, we can sit, we can stand upon the solid foundation of your word, take comfort in your word even through the night watches and even through the early morning hours. And no matter what is going on around us, that we can take that time to meditate upon your word. And we thank you for this. In Christ's name, amen.